Hello, hello, and welcome to the very first edition, and possibly last, depending on how it goes, of the Property Premier League, where property mixes nicely with the Premier League football. And we've got myself and two of my property professional friends in on this one as co-hosts. First off, we've got Steve Green. Hello, Steve. How are you?
I'm very well, Chris. Very good. A bit wet, but I'm all good spirits.
Now, Steve, you're from sunny Devon, aren't you?
Yeah, lots of that. But yes, I am.
and a Crystal Palace fan as well. Property professional of how many years now?
25. Yeah, 25 in South Devon and 39 as a Crystal Palace fan.
Crikey. Another person who is equally as suffering, long-suffering, is Jamie Aspland. Hello, Jamie. You all right?
Yeah, well, thanks, Chris and Steve. How are you doing?
Good, mate. Good. Everton, your team?
Everton.
Big season coming up?
I hope so. I'm glad we weren't doing it for the last three seasons. Put it that way. It would have been a bit of a disappointing podcast if we were. But yeah, hopefully as we sit here today in the second week of September, things, we're on an international break currently, but things, dare I say it, might be slightly on the up. We couldn't get any lower than we were in the Premier League, so we're slightly on the up, I hope.
Exactly, mate. Well, as a Spurs fan, I share your thoughts, but last season was a write-off. Steve, what a season for you guys, Crystal Palace.
Best season of my life. Best season of all Palace, to be honest. Yeah, totally unexpected. Just positives all the way. Oliver Glasner's he's a ridiculously good manager. Got the team, playing well. They just seem really tight-knit, and probably the closest I've seen tight-knit-wise since the late 80s of Wright, Bright, Salako, Jeff Thomas era. It just seems very, very good. I won't mention the transfer window and things like that at the moment, but we shall see how that pans out.
I remember messaging you or maybe an email you saying, oh yeah, I was going to get hold of you about get back to you about appraisal, I think. And I was saying, yeah, you're trying to avoiding me until the Eze, we bought Eze. And obviously as a Spurs fan, I did it way too early because that never happened. And he obviously went elsewhere. But I think transfer window wise, you guys, you've managed to keep hold of Gaye, which is good, and Wharton.
Yeah.
Nice players.
Yeah. I think Wharton will go next year. I think Gailey will go probably in the summer, to be honest. I think it would have happened if you'd had a replacement. We just didn't have a replacement. We had Joe Gomez, I think, linked. They wanted Kanji from Man City, but I don't think he's going to leave City. You know, the likes of Palace at the end of the day, so he's gone to Milan. But yeah, it's losing as it's big. Well, I was there at the Forest game a couple of weeks ago, and you could see the lack of creativeness that was in the side. You definitely missed him about that. There's nothing really to get the fans on their feet, and he got us on our feet and just put the rabbit out of the hat and, a goal to an opportunity.
Well, I think growing up these days, though, you sort of see now that how many transfers are linked to someone else going somewhere else, like you just mentioned there, Kanji, Gomez. When I was younger, if you wanted a player, you went and signed him. It's regardless of, really, it's more commercial now. It's more, you can't have him unless you have him. But I mean, credit to Palace for what they've grown, homegrown, and where they've come to, and their transfers is amazing. But I've never known it really where you can't have him until we get that. And it's obviously commercial business now, isn't it, to be fair? So I drop on to Gaye. Do you think he won't go in January, so you still get a bit of money for him, obviously? Because I believe the end of the summer, he'll go on a free, won't he?
Palace are the ones that are probably missing out on this. £35 million is a lot of money for a player that's got 12 months left in his contract. From Gaidy's point of view, my opinion is that he's always been a captain at Palace. He's going to be first choice probably for England. He's playing in European competition for Palace, and he can start talking to clubs in January, February time to leave in May, June time. So, and he's going to get a massive sign-on fee. Yeah. So from his point of view, he's on a win-win situation. Palace are the ones that are going to miss out on.
As long as he stays fit, I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? You don't want an injury and stuff to come through at the last minute. But you sort of see it there. You think, well, actually, he's got an agent there that's, let's be honest, unless you're trading, he's not going to make any money from it. So he's probably going to be thinking, what can I do in January to try and manipulate something here? But it'd be interesting, to be fair.
Well, talking about creative players, obviously, Jamie, Grealish, will he turn out to be the signing of the season? I think it could be. He makes the difference, and that's what you want.
Without talking my own team down, I think you have players, let's say Richarlison, let's go back another area where he was our main man. There was him, Decore, Pickford, probably keeping us in the Premier League.
I've never doubted Richarlison. I put it out there.
That's no disrespect to other players, but they were. And I think Jack Grealish is probably, he's come, he's a bigger fish in a small pond instead of vice versa. And he's got that ability to play and dazzle and enjoy football. And I'll tell you a quick story. I know we've only got a certain time, but so first day of the home game of the season, we'd been away to Leeds on a Monday night, me and my son, who's 14, and we lost 1-0 to a team that didn't look, either team could have been there now without, we lost a dodgy penalty. No team looked like they had a centre-forward that's going to score, and it was Grealish on the bench, and we'd gone to Leeds and it's a bit hostile and we lost to a penalty in the 80th minute anyway. So roll on the Sunday after, first home game, new stadium. I'm saying to him on the way there, don't fall in love with a lone player. Don't fall in love with a lone player. Whatever you do, mate, Jack Grealish, whatever you
do, don't
fall
in
love with a lone player. So anyway, we're on the way up there and yeah, I get it, Dad, I get it. Yeah. I said, try fall in love with James Garner because he signed, like, don't fall in love. Yeah, get it. On the way up to the ground, you walk now, if I've even not been, you walk from the city centre pretty much down the dock to the new ground and every kid, adult, you're going past, if they had a shirt on it, had Grealish 18 on the back. And I'm going, remember what I said to you, don't fall in love with a lone player. He's like, yeah, I get it, Dan, I get it. The game kicks off. Obviously, Jack does his thing. We haven't had a player, Illerman and Jai and him are probably the only two that will go round a player and beat a player. And he whips the ball in and Illerman comes in the back post, smashes it in. By half time, I'm in love with Jack Grealish. And my son turns to me and says, Dad, remember, don't fall in love with a lone player. I was like, oh.
He's when the student
there,
becomes so, the master.
Brilliant. Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, it's with an option to buy. It could be an interesting one. I think it all depends where we finish in the stadium. And obviously, I'd like to be half glass full, not empty. But with the being Everton, you've always got to look over your shoulder. And I think the Premier League, I know it's only the international breaks come early, but there's been some weird results. Every team's still in it and you expect the ones with 0 points or 1 point to get points. So I still, as much as I want to look up the table, I still have got my eye, certainly after three seasons, what we've been through, my eye on the shoulder of the down the table as well, to be fair.
I hate the international break. Like,
say again,
sorry. Chris, what's the new stadium like at Everton?
Amazing.
Second best in the country, isn't it?
Hey, stop that. I've been a season ticket holder for many, many years. And so, to go there, the first game, Steve, felt like I was an away fan. It's a really weird experience. I kept looking to my son going, this is a nice stadium. He's like, yeah, this is our stadium. I'm like, oh, yeah, forget that. It was like going to a Spurs, an Arsenal, a modern stadium. I was like, oh, this is nice. But then you realise it is now your home. So it was amazing. And I think I probably dropped on it earlier. Football's commercial now, isn't it? You look at these decisions that are happening over the last few days and Big Ange has gone into Forest. And as much as a fan wants to be, probably the fans are the last bit that's left to my granddad supported them, I supported them, this supports them, that supports them. Now, it's a monetary term, isn't it? You look at the deals that Everton have done with Pepsi and stuff. It's the football is changing. I can see why people struggle to engage and stay in love with it. But we do our best and it is an amazing stadium. And if you get a chance to, if you guys ever want to come up, we could maybe look to do something because obviously I've got four season tickets there. Oh, so, yeah, okay. We could hopefully...
Don't tell the listeners. Okay.
One day we could hopefully get
millions
up there,
of listeners.
But you'll see Richarlison is still treated like God up there, Chris. So if you can drop him off and leave him.
No, I'm always a believer. If someone puts their whole sort of ethos into it and, you know, they put their body on the line, then I'll always, you know, applaud them, even if they're actually... miss a goal or miss a lot of goals, and that's for Charleston really, isn't it? And he's such a confidence player. I don't know if international breaks, I'm gonna put it out there.
Oh, no.
I absolutely hate, I know we've got to qualify, but I just want the Premier League to start again, don't you? Yeah, they're every 3 weeks, I think.
Because of the World Cup, I think we've got another one. Is it October as well, straight away, I think?
Yeah. So there's you can't get any momentum just when your players are starting to... Your fingers crossed that your players don't come back injured. You know, it's a benefit for people like Grealish not being picked
And I've enjoyed it in the last three seasons, though. So I used to say to Jai, at least Everton aren't going to ruin my weekend this weekend, is what I used to say to him. So I used to enjoy them a bit more when we weren't winning and getting where. I'd say, oh, at least we can't ruin my weekend this weekend. So,
So, two of you then, club or country?
Club.
What? Club. Would I rather Everton win the Premier League or England win the World Cup?
Oh, no, that's difficult. Because
Palace all day long.
I will get I'll get emotionally involved in a World Cup and a European Championships to a point, but World Cup in particular, because I just think that's.
I'm actually stunned. I don't know if I can answer that. I don't know what to say on that one. To be fair, as much as I love Everton answer. To win the
Premier hold the press, Jamie. Can't speak.
Answer that question.
No, I'm going for Spurs. I'll go for club.
I can answer that. To be fair, one of the most things I can answer everything quite easy, but that's one where I don't know because I'm a bit like Chris. Involved in, I'm quite patriotic, I suppose is the word you'd use, and I get quite into it. But
you put the flags out on the street.
I get nervous watching Everton. Do I get nervous watching England? There's a bit more. There's probably a bit. I don't know. A bit more hope, should I say, on that? To be fair,
I don't. I think I watch England now and just think, oh, okay, yeah, that's okay. But I always. Obviously, the older you get, the longer you have your memory regards to players you've had in the past. And some of the players in the past, I was just saying to my son earlier on today, one of my sons, it's the era of a gas scoring or the star players you used to have in football teams, including the England team. And now it's much more of a squad thing. It goes into what you were talking about, Jamie, really now. Yeah, you can't pick many stars from teams. Some the top teams, but most teams haven't really got a star. They're just a really well-functioning team. They know their jobs and they work really hard. And that's kind of
what Tuchel's struggles.
Yeah, even Tuchel's done that with national side though as well, I think. So,
did you watch it last night, Steve?
No, I didn't. I actually worked on a property live because I watched Saturdays with the daughters who are both football mad. Yeah. And it's a typical England game. Yes, we ground out a win. It wasn't particularly exciting, and I thought, do you know what? I'm going to give it a miss. And then, of course, I looked, and we won 5-0. And then watched the highlights this morning, and I was like, actually, those goals that they scored, from a team point of view, were really good and seemed quite exciting. So I'm disappointed in watching that.
Poor team. You know what I like last night? There was only three players, one being the goalkeeper, that had more than, I think it was something like seven caps. Don't quote me on that, but a lot of them were new. And there was a lot of them, well, he wouldn't get in if Bellingham was fit, he wouldn't do that. But I think the youngsters took the opportunity last night and thought, well, maybe I wouldn't get in if they were there. And I honestly thought it was actually refreshing to watch your Marcus Gayes and your Konsa's coming on and your fullbacks trying to, Reece James there. But it was actually,
it had something to prove,
they took their opportunity well. And I think, it was actually quite refreshing that we didn't have to play players that would be your star players because they weren't there. And it was actually quite refreshing. And to be fair to the centre half, I thought that both of them got a goal. And Marcus Gaye, I thought, it was good to see and dominate. And there's bits of things you might want to change. But yeah, I think as a whole, it was probably a good performance overall, to be fair.
Probably needed as well for Tommy Tuchel. I think he needed that win. Otherwise, he was going to fall into that trap of, oh, we're just going to be England again, like under Southgate. Yeah. But Anderson, is it Elliot Anderson, the Forest midfielder?
Yeah.
He's really taken his chance. And if he keeps Henderson out, happy days. And he keeps Jordan Henderson out.
Yeah, he did. He did step on the pitch last night. And I was like, still, how do we get to this stage?
So I thought about, obviously, with this property and the football related thing as well. Henderson, he's one of those dependable people you would have in your team, even at work, regards to actually just does his job. He's not going to set the world alight. He or she's not going to set the world alight. But you need that sort of person in the team sometimes. But when you're talking elite level, if you've got the choice of everybody, and you know, we could all name 5, 6, 7, 8 players who play ahead of him, in my opinion. And even some who play for the under-21s the other night as well. So it's difficult, isn't it? I see what he's doing there, level head. But he was chasing shadows, some of the stuff I saw in the highlights as well. So
I think you pick your team, don't you? Pick a team in your office or in football or whatever. And I always say, it's played football, stay agency. There's a lot of similarities between a football team and your work team, if that makes sense. And you would probably still make up your work team with different characters and different personalities. But I still don't know if a Jordan Henderson, without being disrespectful to him, would still be one of them characters or them personalities. You can't have 10, 11 attacking players that all do the same thing. You need other people. But when you have got, like Steve just said, Elliot Anderson, Declan Rice, you've got other people that can play in that holding midfield role, you sort of think to yourself, the team's still versatile, but not with him in it.
Yeah, he's like a valuer, which he or she goes out and actually gets those listings, great, and sort of ticks along. But then you question, would they have got those listings anyway?
Would anyone else have got them listings? Yeah,
and then you're like, what extra stuff? Have they actually beaten somebody, which, you know, crikey, how have you got that listing? That's amazing. Because, you know, that little extra bit of spark, quality, creativity sometimes, even in the state agency, you know, you've got to think of, you know, find that connection up your early doors when you're going in to see properties and go from there. So,
particularly now,
in today's market. Yeah. How long have we spoken about football for? Right, let's talk about property a bit, shall we? How are the markets then, guys? So, Steve, you're down in Newton Abbott. And Jamie, you're up in Lincoln, aren't you, yourself?
Lincolnshire, yeah.
Jamie, let's go for you first, if that's all right. How's the market? I'll give a general overview of the auction market, where I'm at in Devon, and generally what people are saying to me as well. Obviously, Jamie, how's the market yourself up there? See if there's any sort of links to what... There must be very similar type of feel on the market right across the country, to be fair.
Yeah, August was quieter than what we'd probably hope for on sales, but actually valuations and listings was actually maintained a good level as a company, not just my area, but obviously our independent company, Pygott & Crone, has got offices across Lincolnshire and Nottinghamshire, so it's probably easier for me to talk a broader scale there. Yeah. But it has actually remained busy with valuations, which you sometimes see the drop off in the school holidays, and it's been busy with listings, but sales were down. So it was a traditional August with sales down. September, our kids went back to school Thursday, Friday of last week. So we're now a week nearly touching tomorrow into that. And it has started shoots to do. But I think you probably, if you don't know my area, you've probably demographics of it. You would look at it. Second biggest county that no one's ever heard of. I like to describe it that. when you just go on lads holidays, when you're longer, like, where are you from? And you'd say, Lincolnshire, and they'd say, oh, is that in England? And I'd say, yeah, it is in England. Have you ever heard of it? They say, no, never heard of it. So they'd go, have you heard of Skegness? They'd say, yeah. And I'd say, unfortunately, that's in Lincolnshire. So that's sort of the sort of thing, inland from Nottingham. But your average house price here is a lot different to a lot of areas. And we have a lot of military bases around here, a lot of RAF bases. So if you see RAF Cranwells, where they train the officers. You've got Coningsby when you see the Eurofighter. You've got Scampton, which has got the Red Arrows.
Is that the main drug? Because obviously, also MOD bases there, but are they main employers still as well? Is that your main employer there as well?
One of them, but we have a lot of our, like, settlers around here as well, because of we have a grammar school system here, which is still free, so you don't pay for your child to go to grammar school. They take the 11 plus. But I would say in Sleaford, let's take an average here. You get a 4-bed detached house with a single garage for 300,000, like a David Wilson built house. So you can, but you can send your kids to grammar school for free if they pass 11 plus. You've got.
Wonder if I could go up there, buy a house, and then commute to Devon.
We've got a state just outside Sleaford. We call it Little London because basically people turn out of there, 15-minute drive to Grantham. You get on the train and then 56 minutes you're in King's Cross.
Yeah.
So you can see
train links
people,
are good, aren't they?
So you can see people relocating here. So I've digressed off the question, is the market good? Yes, it is, but up to a certain level where we hear about, dare I say her name, the lady that's just gone, Angela Rayner, talked about 500,000. That would affect my market, but a 4-bed detached house is well under that still in this area. So I would say under 300 to 350, my market's still strong. Above that, it's a little bit slower. So it's very sectional by, it's a bit more traditional with the time of year, which we haven't seen for a while. Yeah. And I would say price dependent on where you are trying to hit your market.
What were you, Steve? Yeah. Your listings are good, aren't they, at the moment? You're telling me.
Yeah, we average a good amount of listings on a monthly basis, probably around sort of 22, I think it is, every month, which is great. The sales are harder. It's so price dependent. And trying to explain that to a person who's trying to sell, and then how they want to knock something that they want to buy 10%, but they still have to get top dollar on their property. When you've got competition, it's probably the hardest thing at the moment. You know, I'm worried very much. That's just my personality. Like, you know, where's the next seller come from? Where's the next listing coming from? And the listings are always pretty consistent. The sales always tends to be a flurry right at the end. Every single month, there'll be a big flurry. And it's very much like the exchanges. You know, you'll have nothing for weeks, days. And then all of a sudden, that kind of 20th to the 30th or 31st, it all comes to light and everything's
Why do you think that is then? And Jamie, you're probably the same as well. End of the month, that end of the month sort of feeling still. When I was in agency, obviously nothing's changed since I was in agency sort of 3 years ago. I always found that, it's towards the end of the month, and that's obviously when you got busier. And obviously for estate agents, that's what when you try and get in before the end of the month so you get your commission on it, etc. But is that a mindset of solicitors that they leave stuff until the end of the month when it could have been done a lot earlier?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think so, without a doubt. It's every single month. It's a pattern. You know, we were supposed to have 18 exchanges in June, I think it was. We did 11. You know, so then you've got that fall over into the next month. And you're thinking, well, I've had 16 there, plus that 8 that didn't happen. Now I've got to do 20 of them. And again, it doesn't happen. And then you get that flurry. But I talk to a lot of sales, and you know, our year end for putting sales in the pipeline to complete by the end of the year is getting shorter every year. So I reckon we're now at kind of anything from the middle of August onwards into September, October, that's 2026 pipeline. Mm. You know, and then obviously the more stock you take on, the more choice you have, the longer it takes to exchange, those buyers will constantly look online. And if they see something better, or they've got someone in their ear, family members saying, it's gone on 5 months, you know, do you really want that? They'll change their minds. The fall through rate's massively increased, I think, certainly in the Southwest, from what I'm looking at.
Wouldn't it be interesting just to do it? Well, I guess someone is doing a poll to some degree about how many fall throughs are purely because of the length of time rather than anything else. But, you know, even when I was on the Property Market Advisory Board many years ago, with you, Jamie, actually, we were talking about the length of the process, speeding up the process, making it much more easier to buy and sell. That hasn't changed at all. If anything, it's got worse, obviously post-COVID in particular, when they haven't reemployed those conveyances, and they don't want to do that, and obviously a lot of people just left the market. And I see estate agency and anybody in property, especially conveyances, just going out of the market because it is such a ball ache's not the right word, but it's such a pain to get anything through. And you know, when you're trying to sell properties for vendors, legitimate reasons for moving, etc., and you really want to help them, you like the people, you got the price right, you found a buyer, it kind of goes out of your hands, doesn't it, then as well? You've done your part, and then everything's reflected on. I always remember when we used to do reviews afterwards, like you guys probably do, and then you get stuff saying, oh yeah, it's so slow, it took so long to complete. It was nothing to do with you, but it reflects on you as an individual business as well, and individual person as well. So
I think it's just because you're the person they can always get hold of, every person can get hold of, it always falls with you to deliver the news that they have got or want to do. But you are exactly right. It's like, well, it's not me, but I think you are the one that always delivers it and gets, should we say, not a nice word, but I don't like to use it, but the blame, should I say. But it is that way. But I wholeheartedly believe with what Steve just said, that when I first started the agency 21 years ago, I'd have gone there, don't matter how long it takes. It genuinely does. People find reasons. And I had one the other day where they said to me, it's just not meant to be. And I'm a very black and white person. I was like, what do you mean it's not meant to be? Like, well, it took too long. I'm like, it hasn't taken too long. It took the process. And it's a crazy thing, but they like Steve said, they find something else reduces, something happens, and the longer that you're exposed, it is true, the more chance it's got of falling through. And that is an unfortunate way we are, but I'm still, we've sat on that board, Chris, and it isn't going to change, because all it takes is one slow person in the chain. You could have the out of five conveyances, you could have four that are fantastic, answer within 30 seconds, the one slow one, you will go as fast as they'll go. And that's the problem you've got. You can send good memos, you can send good updates, you can do everything. Yeah. But if there's one person there that's not transacting in the speed of everyone else, it will go as fast as them.
Yeah, you can be the best agent in the world, but it's out of your control, and it's reflected back on you eventually as well, which is really annoying. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the ins and at the end of it is there. I mean, what are the general, what are you guys saying to vendors when you go out there about completion times? What is the general feeling, what completion times are now? Because ultimately, you know, you used to say, oh yeah, 12 weeks later, you're in your new home, for instance.
I'm celebrating now for 12 weeks.
Are you given any periods or not?
No, I'm going in on the point of valuation and explaining the whole process to them, like how long is our relationship going to be together? I'm saying to them, we're going to be in a relationship for 6 months, you know, 8 weeks to sell your house. Hopefully it sells quicker, but let's allow 2 months. You've then got 4 months of conveyancing. So we are together for 6 months. When you talk to some of the conveyancing solicitors now, they're actually saying to the clients, we've worked to a 19-week completion.
Wow.
Where has that come from? Who has decided that this is a 19-week process?
I know, and I think you're right, Steve. When they say that and it becomes the norm, everyone goes, well, it's only been 18 weeks. Well, like you said, who decided 19 weeks was right in the first place? It's like that caveat of get out, but it's only been this long. So everything just slows down the process.
But that doesn't help it, does it? Because ultimately, if this listers are saying, oh, it's all right, I've got a couple more weeks on that, they're going to leave it until those weeks because they know they've got a period there to do other work in. Yeah. We know how it works.
And I think the problem you've got is the general, and I'm sure you, Chris, see it slightly different with the auction, but Steve will probably be the same. You go into somebody's house and say to them, so I'm here today, when are you expecting to move? They're like, well, it's June now, my kids start school in September, so I'm hoping to move by then. And I'm like, sorry, what September are we talking about? And that, because the problem you've got is it's one of them industries where what the consumer or the client or the vendor or the applicant thinks is completely different to what it is. And it's that industry where everybody knows best. I know best about houses. It's like, well, I've done it for 21 years. Yeah, great. Well, my mum said that she works in the doctors and this is what should happen. And I'm like, it's not that industry where we are the professionals and people have their own perception of timeframes and how long things take. And the best ones you'll probably get, that you probably see, Steve and Chris, maybe in the auction slightly different, but people go, my mum and dad moved 11 years ago. And I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. And they moved in 3 weeks. I'm like, don't think like that now. It's very different. And so their perception to how long the time should take to what we tell them is very different.
You know, when you go in the A&E and then they've got this waiting time, 45 minutes, and then you're like, oh, I've been here for 3 hours. What's going on? It's a bit like that.
And they accept it.
Yeah. They have to. You've got no choice, have you? No choice. Exactly. What's the answer then? What's the answer with regards to moving things forward? Ultimately, obviously what I do, obviously, unconditional exchange with completion set for a period afterwards, typically 28 days. Great. You know what's happening. The midpoint of that is conditional, obviously, auction, which although we can offer, I don't actually offer it because it's too close to normal private treaty. There's no real tie to it. You just lose the deposit. And it also works on a buyer's side rather than the vendor's side, which is what I've always tried to do. Vendors are the key person on this because they're selling the house. But obviously, there was lots of talk about non-refundable deposits and things like that, making it legally binding. But until they get the process sorted out, you can't do that, can you? Because, as you know, you could have a chain of, if it's one single person buying another property and there's no other chain, then yes, I suppose you could put a time period on that. It should go through in this period. But when you don't know your buyer, it's hard.
I think there's a lot of things that could change. You know, personally, I think that the estate agent should be able to charge £500 marketing fee up front.
Yep.
Because when you've got a lot of people that are putting their house on the market for not necessarily what you valued it for, and they forget the conversation you're having 6 weeks later, you know what I valued it for, we charge your price, they will then turn around and say, well, I would take off the market. And I'm not sure what Jamie does in his area or the agents do in that area, but we don't charge anything up front for any marketing. And we're doing drone footage, as you know, Chris, and internal videos, you name it. Insta post, TikTok has now become a thing. You spend all those man hours to then be taken off the market and then have no fee bar the EPC fee. That's a big thing. Personally, I would bring back home information packs from 2007 and adapt them. And I think, you know, if you're going out to do a valuation on someone's house and you're saying, right, HIP is £500, for argument's sake. You need to get a survey on this property. That'll cure all the problems with survey fall-throughs. etc. You could have a risk valuation done on it as well, and make sure it all stacks up. Some of the legal process could be in there. It'll quicken the process up, full throughs will come down, and you've got some sort of income. Because what job could you do? You can't go into Currys and go and buy a 60-inch TV and say, I'll tell you what, I'm going to borrow this, and if I don't like it, I'm going to give it back in 4 weeks, but I'm not going to pay you any money. What job is out there that we do that we don't burn anything up from? It's bonkers.
Yep, definitely.
It's
a commitment. It's a commitment. I always say that there's a high percentage of the market who actually they'd like to sell, but they don't really need to. That doesn't help the general market, because ultimately, you work really hard as a agent and get that price down, or get the right buyer for that specific, very unique property sometimes, and get it. And then you're like, oh yeah, we've got to find something now. We'll start looking. Oh, we can't find anything. Yes, you can go to an old agency and spend more time to find that property for a person, but that property often doesn't exist. And realistically, they're not really. Time's moved on since it went on the market anyway, and they're actually, we decided we're not going to move now. We like where we are. There's no real commitment at all, is there, with it, other than signing the contract, which you don't pay anything for until you're sold anyway.
We're slightly different here, so that's why I've kept quiet, because obviously we have a marketing fee, which is paid in exchange or withdrawal, and a lot of agents will have that round here now. Right. So, and I totally sit where people go, it's not, and I was in that camp many, many years ago, so we've done it for quite a while around here, but people would say, it's not going to work. And to be honest, the ones that are motivated to move are happy to say, yeah, I get it totally, that we're still no sale, no fee, but we're paying an external company to come in and do a video, the drone footage, the professional photography, the floor plan, the EPC. If you decide not to move, we've paid them up front. You'll pay that on withdrawal exchange. So we are a little bit different to that area, to be fair. So, it's still... Sometimes when we do that, it still doesn't feel like you're getting rep and sale for what you've put into it, like Steve said. So it is, we do have that. We do have a little bit of a buffer there. So
I guess you're
it's
good.
Broken, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got how many branches in Pike and Crone? Five?
Seven.
Seven. Okay, seven. So you've got a good area where you're the market leader.
I mean, they're not mine. They're not mine. I'm a manager of one of them. But yeah, there is seven. Offices.
So you've got a good. You've exactly. got yeah, yeah. I was sitting back. I always wear this on my day. I always wear a suit and tie on my day off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've got a real a captive market, because you kind of run the market a little bit. If you're a smaller independent, then you're very reliant on what other agents do as well, I guess.
I think if I set up tomorrow, I still would look. But I suppose it's
but because
what
the market
agents does.
Yeah, because the market leader does it. So
yeah. So I think I would still look to do that. And I say, once you don't get greedy, but once you get that, you still feel sometimes that that's still not, you've paid that to the company that we use to produce this wonderful things. So we're still based on a no sale, no fee in a roundabout way, because we are, and you still feel gutted sometimes when it happens. So yeah, it's, I feel for the agents in the areas that obviously don't have that backup, to be fair. Mm. And you'll find that people go, I don't want to pay it. You're like, well, why don't you, what is your obstruction to why you want to pay it? And they're, I'm not sure if I really want to move. And then you've got to go back a stage, like Steve said, and said, well, actually, you do go through the process, but I've, out of the 10 that say I'm not sure I want to move, 8 of them don't move, 2 do. Well, you've got to look at your time and think if it's worth that risk of it, if that makes sense.
Isn't this really weird? It's a bit like when a player is linked with a team, and they want to, they agreed, everything's agreed, and the contract's agreed with the manager and stuff like that, and they actually really don't want to play for your team. You know, if you don't want to come on with you guys, and you don't really want to sell it, you're like, well, I'm just wasting my time. I don't need that listing, I guess.
You generally have people go, well, I'm going to try them, so they won't charge me if I don't sell it. I'm like, well, I'm here to talk about selling it, not about maybe not selling it. So it's that difficulty, I suppose.
Yeah,
be interesting to go back again and see if someone as a fly on the wall to see someone another area take it on and what how they find that. But again, we're not asking for it front, but there is a charge on withdrawal or exchange of contracts, basically.
Yeah, if it becomes a norm and you're one of the three agents or two agents called out all the time, then it's in the psyche of that's what happens. And I think you guys are quite good at marketing that anyway. So, and actually, if you've got the right vendors coming to you, well, I want to sell it anyway. So, I mean, you guys are the best. I believe in what you've told me. Fantastic. I want to use you. I'll go for it. It empowers that individual to say, okay, we will go out and we'll charge that fee of X amount or market thing. But you've always got in the back of your head, and Steve will tell me, I'm sure, as an independent one branch owner as well. Well, you want to try and get, you get a lot of competition there. It's a hard one because you want that balance as well, don't you, Steve?
Yeah. The lister in you wants to list. Yeah, the business owner in you wants to be the best. You know, I was a lister. I loved listing. I still list now. But if I started to charge marketing fees, like when we started business in 21, we weren't on Rightmove. I couldn't afford to be on Rightmove. Mm. You know, it's astronomical.
So, can't afford to be on now, but that's for another podcast.
Nah, if I didn't start doing that one, I wouldn't go on for 2 hours. So I didn't go on Rightmove, I stayed on Zoopla. And I think I had 8 or 9 listings ready to go live. They'd all been agreed, and every single vendor had been got out by my biggest competitor, who had seen us as a bit of a risk, a fear, etc. Rang every single one up, and said, you do realise they've got a Rightmove, and every single one of them was going to come off the market and go to the other agent. So I had to scurry around very, very quickly. And to try and get on Rightmove is incredibly harder than Zoopla.
Yeah,
and jump through that, and that took a month. It took months to actually sort of really pacify them for 4 weeks and not lose it. So we joined the monster. So, you know, this angle as well. So, yeah, if I started charging marketing fees when the others don't, I would lose listings, and you get very used to doing 22 on average a month.
It's a bit like, here's an analogy, you'll just form ahead. Hopefully it will make sense. It's a bit like a magpie. Magpies go for shiny things, and that's what salespeople are anyway. They'll go out and get the latest thing, and then the fallback of that is that actually that shiny thing might be a razor. They're taking that razor back to the nest, and it's actually inflicting pain on the company sometimes, I guess, as well. Mm. And the fallback with all of this is that you said about plans and marketing plans and stuff like that, and actually going through how long you're going to be with us as well. That's really key, isn't it, about getting properties on the market and selling properties and vendors, because, you know, it is a real process now, and you know that there's going to be quite a lot of ups and downs because the market isn't straightforward. How many times recently have you guys seen a property? And I've done the same for auction as well. I've seen properties like, yeah, that's going to fly. That is going to fly. The price is brilliant. This is so and so. And then it sells. But it doesn't get where you thought it was going to get, because that buyer or the market's changing and it's up and down. It's sometimes it's totally down to timing. Crazy. Happens a lot. Okay, good. That's that bit done. So finishing up then, we'll crack it up in a minute, but football related stuff now. What are your season objectives then, guys? Obviously, Steve, you've got such a high platform there to aim for, and you know, do you think, where do you guys see yourself later on in the season?
10th, 12th. We'll be 10th or 12th again. But there's a particular,
as long as you keep Glasner, nothing happens there.
That's the biggest thing for me, is we've got to invest again in January. Chernel's got to support him, otherwise you're going to lose the best thing that's happened to us ever. You know, we go on about Steve Cotton from the late 80s, early 90s, but as great as he was, he never won a bit of silverware. Glasner's won something. Now, I know he's going to be probably interested in a bigger job, etc. But if they don't invest in him, and it's our fault, and we go back to Sean Dyche, Roy Hodgson, Tony Pulis, Sam Allardyce type of manager, which is stereotypical to Palace, we'll go back 10 years easily. Yeah. So I don't think they'll put anything into the FA Cup or the Carabao. I think it's all about winning that conference league. And if they can win that, they'll then get into where they should be after a clerical error, the Europa.
Definitely. You've got to make the best of the best opportunity at the end of the day. And if you haven't got a squad which is absolutely full of the same quality all over through, because you haven't had those years of success either, and you've had to sell players because for big money, and when you reinvest, you're not in a Champions League. So we found that as well, obviously. This year we're in a Champions League. Great. We would no way we would have got some of the players we've got if we weren't in that.
Through the back door into the Champions League, Chris.
What do you mean, back door? We won a big European trophy. Did you not know?
fourth from bottom gets the Champions League.
Well, let's have that conversation another day, shall we? Because I can see we're not going to agree on certain things there. Jamie, what about you? Everton.
I'm going to start by being different to what I've said for the last three seasons, which is stay in the Premier League. So I'm going to be a little bit more positive than that. I'm going to say a good cup run. I'd love to see a good cup run. I think, Steve, back to his sort of question, would you rather win the England or Everton? I'd love to see us...
FA Cup,
a Carabao Cup.
It's a winnable though, isn't it? Because I've looked at stuff.
Probably FA Cup without bigging Steve up, Tim, which is more games harder. But the Carabao Cup, you are four games away from a big final. Do you know what I mean? That is the truth. You can win, get four games through, and you could be in for a shot at it, basically. So yeah, it's a good cup run. I would love to see, to be honest.
Winning that will pay for Jack Grealish's wages for like at least a month.
Exactly.
Spurs-wise, I think we're still in a period of transition. I didn't believe Ange was the man anyway. I thought the man afterwards was the man. And I think Thomas Frank shows all the signs of being adaptable and able to really move the team along. Bit worried about investment later on. But if we can get into the Champions League again, that will really help us. Because at the moment it's a difficult ask. So with all these teams here, I mean, who do you guys think for the league? I mean, it's early days, but
I can't bring myself to say what I think. So as an Everton fan, so okay. I'm gonna keep. You can
so
make
I'll,
your own.
I'll say it. It's Liverpool, isn't it? All the way.
Yeah, it'll be Liverpool. I think a lot of people think Arsenal, but I think they'll ball it again.
I obviously can't back Arsenal. I can only just say it. But I can see why. But I think that it's really difficult, isn't it? Because sometimes you have teams like, obviously, we beat Man City and stuff like that. But the literally week before that, they were like worldies. Actually, they're back and they're going to do well. So it's going to be an interesting league, but we will be here all the way through, I guess. And
I've got a question for you both, actually.
Oh,
Big Ange has now been installed down the road from me, 35, 40 minutes down the road from me, actually. So will Big Ange, is Nottingham Forest finish above or below Palace? I'll start with.
If you look at the squad, it should be above. But I think with Ange ball, they'll be below.
Okay, Chris, same question. Will Big Ange's Forest finish above or below Tottenham?
Tottenham? Oh,
look at the arguments.
Below, he's not pragmatic enough to get the results on games where you need to change things. You know, we've had a couple of games already, and he's changed the formation, changed the structure, even down to just changing midfield and making it into a diamond or flat. Little things like that, he just doesn't get. And you can say, oh, he changed it so you won the European Cup and stuff. He had to. He had no players. He couldn't do anything else.
He won a cup, though. He won a cup in his second season.
Well done. He stuck to his word and he did it. So
what we said, Forrest is going to win the European Cup next year in his second season.
They're going to win the championship next year.
That was the joke, 100%. And on that bombshell, let's leave it there, guys. It's been really good talking to you both. So this is a weekly podcast. So again, we'll get together next week. We are looking for weekly guests as well. Anybody who's in property at all wants to talk about the aspects of the property they want to talk about, and obviously follow a Premier League team. Ideally, we can have a chat about all things property and Premier League. As is in the title. I've been Chris Mervin. That's Jamie and Steve. Well done, guys. Good effort.
Thanks very much.
Until next time, I guess it's goodbye. And we shall speak to you soon.
Great. Cheers. Thank you.